We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tony Busby, the attorney representing the 22 women accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct. Tony, thank you so much for taking time today to join us.
Of course. How are you?
Good. Let's start with last night. What'd you think?
Well, you know, I watched it with interest like everyone else. I thought, of course, the women were very persuasive and compelling. They tell a very similar story to the other 23 or 24 people that I've spoken to. And, you know, I thought that, that you know, it's exactly what I expected. I mean, obviously, HBO is very tight-lipped. They interviewed another woman, but she didn't appear. And, you know, they spent a lot of time here in Houston doing whatever they were doing, but it was a short program, but I thought it was, I thought it did a really good job of explaining Ashley Solis's position. I think it's important to note that Ashley, the woman who was interviewed the longest, was the first woman to come forward. I think it would be interesting for people to know that I originally turned her case away, and I have a lawyer, a female attorney who used to work for the DA's office who did, I think, some sexual crimes, and she impressed upon me that this is a case that we should pursue. And so we did. So I'm kind of a little, you know, I wouldn't say embarrassed, but probably a little bit ashamed that I originally turned her away, given the bravery and courage that she's shown.
Why did you initially turn her away?
Because I've handled these kinds of cases in the past with high profile figures. They always devolve into, you know, the things with the lawyer personalities and it seems like the victims become kind of, you know, not even a part of the process, and they get roundly criticized and eviscerated and vilified. I had a case very similar to this with a very wealthy oil man out of West Texas who was responsible for creating what they call here in Texas the Cadillac Ranch. And he was allegedly assaulting young boys, and it was the same kind of thing. It was just a press circus, and you know, the boys, I mean, it was really tough on them. And that's kind of how I tried to impress upon Ashley when I first agreed to talk to her, because I think the lawyers at the firm had talked to her, I think, in December. And I finally agreed to visit with her in person. And I was just compelled and persuaded by her story. But I kept telling her, look, you're going to face, sports fans, as we all know, can, you know, they can be very, very passionate. And, you know, and she's received death threats. I've received death threats. I just tried to impress upon her that, you know, you're biting off something this is going to be a big thing. And, you know, I really discouraged her. I'm glad that she had the wherewithal and the fortitude to stick with it. I was finally convinced by the lawyers in the firm that this is the reason we went to law school. You know, I was a United States Marine and fought in two different theaters, and you know, I'm a fighter, as you probably realize, and this is of course not the kind of cases I do on a daily basis as far as how I earn my living, but I'm very proud to represent people like Ashley Solis.
Was this your first case dealing with the NFL?
No, I've represented, I haven't sued the NFL, but I've been involved in cases involving NFL players where there were issues, you know, personal conduct issues, and that always were kind of peripherally involved.
Well, the reason I ask that is because you said last night on the show that you felt like the NFL was only investigating because they had to. And I'm just wondering why.
I'll tell you why I say that, because the NFL sent us a letter. Lisa Friel sent me a letter requesting to interview some of my clients or all of my clients. And just like I've done most times, I left it up to the clients. You know, those that want to do it, great, we'll support that. Those that don't, you know, that's their right. And there were some of the clients that wanted to do so. And the first couple of interviews, the feedback I got from the lawyers that sat with them during the interviews was that the NFL was very, and look, we prepped these plaintiffs very well. I mean, we don't let any of our clients just go speak freely. You know, we walked through the things. We explained to them how the process would work based on what we knew. We explained to them that they were going to be questioned by lawyers. But the feedback I got from some of our lawyers was that the NFL was almost hostile towards them. So I decided the next, and when I say that, it's because one of the questions, in fact, one of the first questions that was asked to a couple of these women was, what were you wearing at the time of the session? And it just rubbed the lawyers in the law firm the wrong way. It just seemed like, you know, the wrong question to be asking out of the gate. And some of these interviews were lasting 3 or 4 hours, when we're really talking about a 50-minute at most interaction. So I sat through one or two of the interviews myself, and I just, you know, I told, and Lisa wasn't in the interview I sat through. It was her colleague, but I just told him, look, we're doing this voluntarily. What the NFL does or does not do with regard to Deshaun Watson makes not a hill of beans about the viability or the success of our cases. We're doing this because the women voluntarily chose to at your request. I expect you to treat them with respect, and we're going to be done in an hour. And, you know, I think from that point forward, it changed the landscape a little bit with regard to how they treated these women. And then it got to, we provided, of course, all of the plaintiff's petitions and the amendments and the direct messages and the text and all the stuff that we've collected to them. And we also offered to provide to them affidavits, which they said, we don't want affidavits. We don't want your affidavits. So I just kind of got the sense that, and based on those interactions and also based on how long this has gone on, knowing full well that nothing, you know, I know who the witnesses are. I know who they've contacted, who they haven't contacted. I know whether they were actually, quote, investigating. They haven't done anything for some time other than most recently, according to Watson's team, they interviewed Deshaun Watson. Just as an observer, it would seem to me that it's not the NFL's job to determine, yes or no about what happened. It would seem it'd be the NFL's, they'd be interested to know that, you have a player who's leaving the facility where he's working out and driving almost an hour outside of town to meet a stranger that he found on Instagram that he's done more than 45 times, different women that he found on Instagram, bringing his own towel, bringing a non-disclosure agreement with him, not asking the woman whether she's licensed, has references, ratings, is trained, nothing. I mean, there's thousands of licensed massage therapists across the state of Texas and in the Houston area, not asking about their training, and specifically making it clear to me when I questioned him in deposition, he absolutely did not tell the Texans, and he didn't have to tell the Texans what he was doing. Those would be the kind of things that you would think, just as an observer, that the NFL would be interested in, not whether they think that they're smarter than everyone else or smarter than a jury in a civil case of 12 people to decide what the woman says happened in a session where these two people were alone for about 50 minutes. So I guess that's a long way of saying I don't have a lot of personally a lot of faith in the NFL as far as whether they take these kinds of things seriously, but I guess we'll all wait and see.
We're talking with Tony Busby, of course, the attorney that represents the 22 women who've accused Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct. Tony, people would say, and certainly Deshaun's camp have said this, and frankly, just as an outside observer who I'm not taking a side here at all, we had Rusty on yesterday, wanted to have you on today to get your side out as well. One lawyer representing 22 women against a millionaire athlete. Some people would say that's a little, I don't know if that lines up with everything on the up and up. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a foolish argument. It has nothing to do with whether, you know, what happened in that room. But just so people understand the mechanics of how the law practice works on the plaintiff's side, some of these cases were referred to me by other lawyers. And Rusty Hart knows that.
Is it true you use social media to get some of these women, or no? Is that not true?
No. What happened was when we first filed the case, and there was press about it, I posted it on my Instagram site. Now, the only so-called solicitation that Mr. Harden seems to, you know, get wrapped around the axle about was, I think, when we had our first press conference after we'd already filed, and again, I don't remember how many cases we'd filed at that point. I did encourage anyone watching that if you have information about Deshaun Watson or his conduct to contact us. I guess that's the extent of any so-called solicitation that would have been involved. I don't think it's unusual. I mean, I think you probably know. I mean, certainly you've seen at least one woman who has another, a different lawyer who hasn't brought a case yet. I know that some of the cases that we have in the firm were originally they retained different lawyers who then referred the case to me, which is quite common. So, I mean, I'm not sure how to respond to something that's fairly common in the law practice of a lawyer pursuing a case. I mean, when I sued BP, I had 14,000 cases. No one ever blinked an eye at that. That's just how it is. When I've had many cases, for instance, with the case I was telling you about, the oil man out of Amarillo. You know, I think I had 28 plaintiffs in that case where I was who came to me directly because they had read about the case or came to me through other lawyers. So I think that's a real red herring. Mr. Harden certainly knows that. But what else can he say? I mean, now he's finally admitted something that I've known. I've never mentioned it to anybody that Deshaun Watson was going to be forced to admit that he had sexual, you know, he's admitted he's had sexual relations, that is either oral or intercourse with three women. I can tell you, having taken one of the depositions where he finally admitted that under oath, his position was that the massage was over. Well, this is what he testified to, just so you can get a sense of why I'm so confident about these cases. He testified the massage was over. And then the woman who had left the room came back into the room and asked him, unsolicited, asked him, could she give him oral sex? This is his position under oath. You know, you know, if anyone believes that, you know, I'm going to sell you a bridge in the desert somewhere, because no one's going to believe that kind of position. But this is the kind of position that's repeatedly been put forward by Mr. Harden, and no doubt Mr. Harden's a good lawyer, but I'm pretty confident that no one's going to buy that kind of baloney.
We're on the hotline with Tony Busby, the defense attorney representing the women accusing Deshaun Watson. Tony, I was reviewing some of the testimony earlier today, and the designated expert and therapist that's treating one of the accusers said under oath, the question was, is it possible that the accuser wasn't completely truthful to you in her sessions about Mr. Watson. The answer was yes. Yes, I strongly feel that she was not truthful, fully truthful in the sessions when I saw her. What's your response to that? And there's other parts in here too. Has her opinion changed on the fact that she communicated with Deshaun 19 times after the massage? She said she wasn't aware of that. And this was her therapist under oath saying that she did not believe that the accuser was being truthful with her.
Well, I would encourage you to read the one thing I found pretty interesting was Mr. Harden, who complains that every now and again there's deposition testimony that's, you know, enters the public sphere. I want to remind everyone that at the beginning of the case, I requested that we have a protective order in place in the case, and it was Mr. Harden who said no, and then he gets bent out of shape because deposition testimony finds itself in the public sphere. And then he turns right around and files public documents where he takes portions of depositions like what you're reading, where he has given that expert, who's not very happy about it, I can tell you right at this moment, gives that expert a little bit of information without giving her all the information, and then tries to get her to say bad things about her patient. And that's what he did. Once she was provided the full understanding of Lauren, you're talking about Lauren Baxley, she was like, oh, yeah, well, that makes complete sense. And she was a little frustrated that Mr. Harden and his team would play those kinds of games with her. So I would encourage you, you know, as an example, Mr. Harden tried to make the case that we had taken a deposition out of context, which we had actually provided the full, when it was requested, we provided the full transcript, and it was the press entity that decided to use a portion of it. And Mr. Harden claimed that, oh, well, that was taken out of context. Well, absolutely was not. The full transcript was provided. So I would encourage you to have Mr. And one thing that we've insisted upon going forward after those games were played was, you're going to ask a witness about testimony. You show them all the testimony before you try to pretend like this is the only information that the expert has to make a decision. So I would suggest to you that that's just legal gamesmanship, and that's why I've insisted and asked and requested that we try the first case that was filed. That would be Ashley Solis. We try that case in July, and unfortunately, Mr. Harden refuses to do that.
Why would you agree to not try the cases during the football season?
Because we never were going to get to do it. Now, the judge did say that she would consider, if both sides agreed, to try to do one in July. Remember, this the judge, obviously the court where these are pending, there's 22 of them, but I think you probably realize that Judge Collier has thousands of other cases. It's not like we get to choose when we try our case. So I have pushed really hard to try one of them because we're going to try them one at a time, to try the first one filed. That's Ashley Solis. Try that one in July. I don't think that's going to happen.
Tony Busby, of course, the attorney representing the women in the Deshaun Watson case, is our guest. Tony, I'd ask you this. If Deshaun Watson is guilty of what is being accused, why did a grand jury find him innocent?
Well, first off, your nomenclature is wrong.
Okay.
Nobody found him, quote, innocent.
Okay. Well, he was not indicted. I should clarify that.
Okay. Let's be clear.
Why was he not indicted? I'm not trying to get argumentative, by the way. I'm sorry. We're just talking over each other.
Language.
Yeah.
Kind of loose language that is really infuriating to these women.
Yeah. Understood. So he wasn't indicted. Why was there not an indictment when, you know, you think he did something wrong, and the grand jury said he didn't, or didn't indict him.
You probably know I represented Governor Perry when he was indicted, when he was our sitting governor in this state several years back. And it is true that if the prosecutor wants an indictment, you know, the old adage is you can indict a ham sandwich. And I made that case with Governor Perry, and ultimately he was able to get those charges dismissed. But the opposite is true as well. If the DA doesn't want an indictment, he or she will absolutely do what it takes to get that veil of protection. So nobody comes at the DA and says, you didn't investigate, you didn't charge this case when you should have. So I would suggest to you that the DA did not want an indictment. And the reason I believe that's the case, only one of these women appeared before the grand jury. Did you know that? I bet you didn't know that. Only one. Did you know that the investigator who did a many, many months long investigation did not appear in front of the grand jury?
Why was there only one woman in front of the grand jury?
Ask the DA that. That's the point I'm making. The DA didn't want an indictment, and I can tell you that the investigator who did all this work was madder than a hornet's nest that she didn't even get to go in front of the grand jury in Houston. I'm talking about the Harris County grand jury where they were looking at nine of the cases. She was very upset because she wanted an indictment. And she was very bewildered as to why the DA clearly did not want an indictment. And I'm also going to give you a little thumbnail of what you're going to learn soon based on what I've been told. And I think what you'll see in based on an investigation being done by one of the national newspapers. I tried to have contact with the DA. I was one to offer whatever she needed from my people, evidence, whatnot. And she wouldn't even talk to me. I mean, she's supposed to be the individual that represents the people, who represents the state. But I would encourage you to ask Mr. Hardin how many times he met with her, how many times he talked to her on the phone, what kind of data he provided to her that she used in front of the grand jury. This is all going to come out soon. So I wouldn't put a lot of stock into, he wasn't indicted. I wouldn't hang my hat on that. That's why I was surprised when, when we were told that the teams were investigating the situation before they made trade decisions or before they made personnel decisions. Nobody talked to me. Nobody talked to these women. Nobody asked us for anything. Nobody talked to the witnesses that we've collected or the statements that we've collected. None of that. Nobody talked to the investigating officer, the one that spent all of her time for the Harris County or the Houston Police Department collecting the information that was supposed to be presented. So I don't know. You know, grand jury proceedings, as you probably know, are secret in the state of Texas. So nobody knows what the actual DA presented or did not present. But one thing I do know is that only a few of the plaintiffs were subpoenaed and only one went in and said anything. Only one to the Harris County grand jury. I think in the Brazoria County, there was only one plaintiff involved in that, and she did go in and speak to the grand jury, but it didn't last very long. So other than that, I can't give you an answer, but what I can tell you is that the civil cases, of course, are a completely different animal, different standard of proof, and we're pretty darn confident about those cases.
Tony, I just a couple more for you. One of the accusers said that she was so traumatized from her experience with Deshaun that she blacked out and she defecated herself and that he forced her to perform oral sex on him. Her testimony just the other day, she said that Deshaun never touched her head, but that his hand was right over her head. And she said that it was, quote, it was a gesture. So can you sort of walk me through that? Because the testimony sounds different than the allegations.
Yeah, I mean, this is the sloppiness. We're pretty precise.
But how's it sloppy? That's the court testimony.
If you'll give me a chance,
yeah, go ahead.
Tell you.
Go ahead.
Okay. If you look at her petition that she filed in court, she said she was coerced. She didn't say she was physically forced, and Mr. Hardin knows that as well. And he knew that's what we put in the petition. Those words have meaning. Coercion does not mean physical force. Coercion, you can coerce somebody under Texas law by threat, by intimidation, and not necessarily by physical force. And that's what she wrote in the petition. That is what she filed in her court papers. And that's what she testified to. So when Mr. Hardin either is doing one of two things, and I know I appreciate him feeding you this kind of information, but let's make sure we're clear. When we try this case, we're going to be precise. We're not going to be sloppy. We're not going to be sloppy in our language. Mr. Hardin knows that. And he knows that there's a reason that I've had some success in my life, and God willing, I'll have some more. But when I saw somebody sent me the transcript of some of the things he said, I knew exactly what he was doing, because that woman never told anyone that anyone grabbed her, forced her physically. All she said was, and all we pled was that she was coerced by intimidation and by threats, and that's exactly what we believe happened.
The word force appears in the – I agree with you 100%. There's a huge difference between coercion and force, 100%. But forcing plaintiff to perform oral sex on him is in the complaint.
Does it say physically forced, or does it say forced by coercion?
It just says forcing.
That's the point I'm making.
It just says forcing. Exactly. Plaintiff to move her mouth toward his, I'll say genitalia, right. Forcing plaintiff to perform oral sex on him.
That's what happened. Exactly. So I appreciate the question, but I think what's, you know, one of the things in law practice, as you probably realize, you set up a straw man and then you knock it down. But it's very easy to figure out when your straw man you set up is a little bit sloppy. And, you know, I saw Mr. Harden's transcript, a little bit of it, and, you know, several of the lawyers in the office were like, he knows full well exactly what we said. He knows it full well exactly. But, you know, this is one of those, aha, gotcha, but it's really much ado, and there was nothing to it.
I have one more for you, if you could, please.
Yeah, sure.
One of the accusers in her testimony, the question was, at no point during this massage did you ever do anything that you didn't consent to doing, did you? And the answer was no, and then an objection came right after that. But she said no. Her testimony was no. She was not forced to do anything. At no point during this massage did you ever do anything that you didn't consent to doing, and she said no.
Which case are you referring to? Because there's 22.
Yeah, I know. I don't necessarily want to.
If you're talking about the one where the allegation is he rubbed his genitalia on her, well, I don't see how that could be inconsistent. She didn't do anything. The guy just rubbed his genitalia on her. So I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but I can tell you as a bigger picture, kind of, you know, from 30,000 feet, I've been very impressed with how well these plaintiffs have done in their depositions, how precise they've been, how resolute they've been, and how little the Watson team, despite there's been some times when their conduct was so, I felt to be outrageous and disrespectful that I had an additional videographer there to video the Watson team's conduct. As you can imagine, these allegations are, it's what's alleged is ugly. I believe what happened. I believe these women. If I didn't believe them, I certainly wouldn't pursue the cases.
Tony, appreciate your time so much. I've just another one and a half questions for you. This one's quick.
That's last words.
No, I promise you. We were up against the break anyway. But will there be any more women that come forward that you represent?
Well, could be. There very well could be. I'll tell you, we know, of course, there was a woman who was interviewed on YouTube. I've watched her testimony or her rendition of what happened, which I think we can agree is strikingly similar to what's pled in the 22 cases. You probably know that I turned away and I was trying to get the data point before I talk to you guys, but I know it was four or five women I turned away who called the office, and I know there's at least one other woman who has an intention to bring a case. So will there be others? That's very well possible. Again, it would be the same types of conduct, same kind of wrongful conduct that would be complained about. But, you know, I can't give you a timeline on that.
A lot of cases here to try, Tony, if this does go to trial. Do you want to settle? Do the women want to settle this case and not go to trial?
There's been three different times that we've been approached by Watson's team to settle the case. Early on, there was an effort. It didn't go anywhere. We were asked to sign some documentation where we wouldn't talk about that. The most recent would have been in October. The genesis of that was a potential trade with the Miami Dolphins. We had somebody who, ostensibly or at least claimed that he was speaking on behalf of the Dolphins, and his position was that all cases must be settled. And, you know, it was kind of like you wanted us to jump through hoops. And I was like, I'm not jumping through hoops for anybody. You know, if there's 22 different people with a 23 different minds or 22 different mindsets, you know, that each is their own person. You make an offer, I'll take the offers to them. But, you know, I'm not dropping everything to make that happen. And so they were very, very, very keen on getting that done very fast. And I was figured out pretty quick. First off, the release they gave us with all of the NDAs, non-disclosures, was just not going to happen. I spent some time modifying that, and even after doing that, there were, I want to say, four women who just said, I'm never going to sign and I'm never going to settle. So, period. So, you know, at first they said, to make this trade, we need to settle all 22. And then they said, well, maybe it'd be okay if it was 20. And then finally they said 18. And then I guess the deadline came and went, and that was the end of that. And since then, you know, I am more focused on, the judge is pretty strict about her deadline, trying to get all the discovery stuff, the work done, depositions and such by July. And so that's what I've been focused on. And, you know, there hadn't been any talks that I'm aware of since. Nobody's mentioned it to me, and I'm certainly not going to raise it. So that's where we are on that.
Tony Busby, defense attorney representing, or the attorney representing the 22 women accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct. Tony, you've been very generous with your time, and I appreciate for the last half hour you've given us.
Absolutely. I hope I answered some questions, and at least, you know, from our perspective, the way we see things, and appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Tony.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.